Ah, those timpanis. The 2024 Summer Olympic Games are well underway, and today we'll talk about a few Olympians with Wisconsin ties. I'm Jill Madeau. This is WPR News. J.R. Ratcliffe is with us for the rest of the show. He's a sports writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel who's been covering the Olympics. Which Olympic sports are you enjoying the most? Are you following a particular Wisconsin athlete? Why do you love watching the Olympics? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. JR, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely. No problem. Happy to be here.
So what's it like covering the Olympics? And sometimes there seems like there's so much going on. I mean, how do you even prioritize whatever your stories are going to be?
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not physically in Paris. I'm sitting on the desk in Milwaukee, so it's not
darn.
It's really not grueling as some of my colleagues who've had the, you know, amazing opportunity to go over, you know, over wherever those games are being held. We don't have anybody in Paris, but you know, really, it's just about keeping track of the Wisconsin storylines. There are many. There are many athletes. There aren't that many who are maybe in contention for a medal, but there are a few. So it's pretty easy to follow those storylines and just keep your ear to the ground and keep looking to see, you know, a lot of this stuff happens before any of us wake up in the morning. So it's
true.
You know, it's about being up early and double checking and make sure that there are no storylines that are worth pursuing. My job is the trending sports reporter. So quite often it's viral stuff. It's stuff that's caught on for one reason or another. And it's pretty easy to tell where those things are.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on in the Olympics, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what is it that you think that the Olympics, why does it captivate us so much every 2 years?
I mean, it does on several levels. I mean, obviously there are sports that we are familiar with, like basketball, even track and field to a degree. And it is fun to marvel at the skill, gymnastics and swimming, to marvel at the skill and the ability of these athletes to compete on an international stage. There's a lot of stories that we don't know. You know, if there was a feature on Giannis Antetokounmpo, for example, we know Giannis here in Milwaukee. We've followed him for years. We know his story. To some people, they're probably sick of his story, but how much do we really know about, you know, Kenny Bednarik, Rice Lake sprinter, who's, you know, who was in the 100 final, will probably be in the 200 final. We've seen him before. He's won a silver medal before, so he's not an unknown, but we don't spend a lot of time with him, you know, in these 4 year stretches. So there's a lot of fresh stories, and not just Wisconsin people either, obviously, just the athletes in general. It's a chance for us to pretend to be experts about sports that we do not know anything about, or maybe didn't even know existed. I wonder how many people across the United States said, wait, breakdancing is in the Olympics? You know, that's something that I think everybody came to very short notice. So it gives us a chance to explore things we haven't seen before, to hear stories we haven't heard before. You don't often get that opportunity in the pro sports landscape because everything is dissected and studied and analyzed. And this is an opportunity for something totally brand new. And it comes at you rapid fire, you know, like how many medals are given out a day? How many events are on at the same time? It's just a, you know, it's just a very quick burst over a 2 week window.
Yeah, for sure. And I was this years old when I found out there was breakdancing. Yeah. So,
yep, there you are. The next.
Yeah, that's really crazy. I love it.
There are always weird sports that show up on the program.
aren't there? And then there's kind of weird commentators like Snoop Dogg. What are you thinking about him doing some commentary?
You know, he came to the Milwaukee Brewers game a few weeks ago in early July. Was that? I'm not sure on the timeline, but the aura that man provides, like, it lit up the clubhouse. Pro athletes gravitate toward him. He is a very unique, very different energy. I think his career arc in general is very unique, very different, and he is perfect for this, you know, a little bit of irreverence, a little bit of just awe inspired, you know, kind of how we're all watching the Olympics, like, holy smokes, I can't believe it. You know, there's no emphasis on the technical, no emphasis on maybe the specifics of each sport. Just, this is really cool. I'm really happy to be here. And he conveys that awe to the rest of us in a really cool way. And obviously he's already a known commodity, and we already want to spend time with Snoop Dogg to some degree. This is an unusual venue for him. And I think he's perfect. I mean, if you see him host the Puppy Bowl with Martha Stewart on Super Bowl Sunday, you would already know that when it comes to unconventional sports, Snoop Dogg should absolutely be your guy.
Definitely. So let's get back to the actual Olympic events here. You recently wrote about the sprinter Kenny Bednarik, who's from Rice Lake. What was his childhood like in Wisconsin? He's got a great story, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he was born in Oklahoma. He was adopted along with his twin brother and brought to Rice Lake, Wisconsin. And I'm sure some listeners know where that is on the west side of the state. Not super far from La Crosse, which is where they host the WIAA state track and field meet. And certainly that is one of the places where he became kind of, at least among prep sports writers, a household name a few years ago when he started lighting it up and setting records, including one in the 200 that I'm not sure anyone thought was going to be broken at any point in time by a former NFL running back named Michael Bennett, who played football at the University of Wisconsin. But he came in there and he was just a sight to behold. You know, he was a great 400 runner in particular. He's obviously making national headlines now in the 200 and 100. So it's a little bit shorter sprints, but just obviously one of a kind athlete. Played football at Rice Lake too, but track and field is where he where he stood out. Then he kind of disappeared a little bit because he didn't go the traditional four-year college route. He has said he didn't qualify academically, so he went to Indian Hills Community College in Iowa and sort of, again, got back on the radar, showing up and posting times that were among the best in the country at that moment, and worked his way up from there. And now he's a two-time Olympian, and, he's obviously got a silver medal from the Tokyo 200 meters, and that event will be coming up on Thursday, the final on Thursday. So we'll see if he can pull in another medal.
So what can we expect to see?
I really like his chances. Now, Noah Lyles is the favorite. That's the guy who won the 100 meters in very dramatic fashion. I think one of the great moments of the Olympics thus far. Noah Lyles also loves the 200 more so than the 100. That's more of his event. Kenny Bednarik did face Lyles last year in the 200, or I should say last Olympics in the 200, and won. Lyles took the bronze, but Lyles has won, I think, like 17 straight international 200 events since then. So he is the favorite. He is on fire. And probably Noah Lyles will be the highest finishing American in that event. But Kenny Bednarik, I really like his chances. He had the fastest time in round one, which doesn't mean a whole lot, but still really nice time in the round one for Bednarik. And I really think he is a guy who might sneak up on people a little bit. Not a lot of people are talking about him, as good as his times have been. He had the second fastest 100 time in the United States behind Lyles when they competed at the U.S. trials together. He took seventh in the 100, but I just really think people are sleeping on him a little bit, and that we might be surprised when that event rolls around.
Okay. It's something to look for sure. And speaking of Rice Lake, we have Steve on the line. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. What do you got for us?
Kenny Bednarik, what a super, super guy he is. I graduated with my son, and what a good, good kid. So I hope he wins it again. So,
all right. Well, thanks, Steve. We appreciate that. Is that what you've heard too, JR, that Kenny's a good guy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him personally. I won't deny it, but certainly reports are great. And if he has a pretty nice online social media presence. He has this Kung Fu Kenny persona that he has adopted that you can see in his social media accounts. And, you know, I love his interviews. You know, he's down to earth. He's humble, but not unrealistic about how good he is. So it's kind of a nice mix that way. And he's not maybe as explosive as Noah Lyles is in terms of, you know, being demonstrative or whatever. And maybe that's more the flavor of, you know, I could see a lot of fans who prefer that. So I'm definitely rooting for him. It's journalistic and, you know, objectivity or whatnot. Yeah, I kind of throw that out the window when the Olympics roll around. I'm obviously hopeful that he can impress the nation once again.
That would be great to see for sure. We were talking about Giannis a little bit ago with basketball and whatnot. And, you know, he's not playing for the U.S., of course. He's playing for Greece. What's been going on with basketball?
Yeah, today was the last day for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He played very, very well in these Olympics, and Greece got probably as far as they could have gotten. They went 1-2 in pool play in a very, very difficult pool against some of the best. I mean, Spain didn't make it out of the pool, and Spain at one point was the number two nation in the world in men's basketball recently. So I think it was a very difficult task. They had to face Canada, Spain, Australia. They beat Australia, which was really good, and they were just able to get into the knockout round, the final eight, which led to a match today against Germany, and Greece did not win. So Giannis is coming home back to the Milwaukee Bucks, presumably. He played in four games. He averaged more than 28 points per game. This is not as long as a regular NBA game. It's a little bit shorter. So that's a pretty impressive number. If you adjust for inflation, I guess it would easily clear 30 points per game. So he was really, you know, he was a star, and his Greece teammates did the best they could. And I think probably had the best finish they could have hoped for, but they did not make it through to the semifinals. So those are coming up here in a couple of days. Team USA will play shortly, and they'll have their quarterfinal match as well. And we'll see how that comes out, because Team USA is obviously going to be one of the favorites to win. And I'm sure Bucks fans can breathe a sigh of relief. Giannis didn't get hurt. You know, he obviously had the injury at the end of the season. Going to the Olympics is his first action since then. He's coming home seemingly in one piece, and should be good to go for the season.
That is an issue, isn't it, with some of these professional players playing in the Olympics, and if they get hurt, their teams aren't going to be too happy, are they?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think Bucks fans were really confronting this. Obviously, you know, Giannis speaks so glowingly of wanting to represent his country, wanting to be part of the Greece experience, things like that. So you can't in any way, you know, begrudge him for wanting to do that. But at the same time, Bucks fans, you know, like, he's not playing on behalf of the Milwaukee Bucks at this point. He wasn't able to play in the playoffs this season, had a pretty serious calf issue. So, you know, I'm sure if you're a Bucks fan, you don't want to see him possibly make that worse, because you know, if you do something really dramatic, that could impact what happens next season. There's a pretty good chunk of time of rest here coming up before things really get going in earnest, you know, toward the end of September, early October. So he's got plenty of time to rest up, and it's you know, it's I was hoping he'd go further. It would have been quite the story to have him kind of carry his team on his back and put up the numbers that he was putting up. But there are just too many talented teams in men's basketball.
Now, I've heard some reports that the basketball teams are actually pretty equal these days. I mean, the U.S. team used to waltz in and our dream team and kind of just assume they're going to take everything. But it's not like that this year, is it?
No, and it hasn't been for a while. It's one of the sports, and I'd say women's soccer is another one, where the United States used to have, you know, sort of a monopoly on that. They had the best players in the world, bar none. And it just got to a point where other nations, you know, nurtured their cultures and got better and better. I mean, you will see also many NBA players. The NBA in general is a very global game. So there are all kinds of stars. You know, you saw Nikola Jokic play for Serbia today, multiple, you know, three-time MVP. He's competing. He competed today. Australia is full of NBA players. Canada with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's one of the biggest names in the NBA right now. He's playing for Canada. Jamal Murray is there. So these teams are a lot of familiar names for those who follow the NBA anyway. But yes, we've come a long way from the dream team 1992, you know, the team full of legends where the USA could just walk over anybody. It's pretty equal. Now, USA is still very good. They are going to be among the favorites. Canada could easily win this whole thing. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if Serbia can with Jokic, but he's, you know, they're good. They're into the Final Four, so they're certainly a threat. And, you know, USA played some warm-up games and really struggled with some teams. South Sudan, a team that did not make the knockout round, really gave the U.S. a run for their money in one of the warm-up games. That's why you play those games. But they, the U.S. definitely learned that they're not, you know, they're not going to walk over anybody, that's for sure.
And that's a good lesson to have early on. So we are talking about the Olympics with J.R. Radcliffe. He's a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Do you have a question for him, or do you have a comment about the games? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. Coming up tomorrow, David Drake and Jamie Nack are going to be back, and they're going to be talking about armadillos. That's right. They are getting closer to Wisconsin. We'll find out how close. Plus, we'll talk about some citizen scientist opportunities. And would you believe the fall migration is beginning? That's all tomorrow, starting at 11, right here. Right now, we're talking about the Olympics. And JR, we were talking about basketball. One of the questions I had for you, so we've got Megan Gustafson, who was born in Wisconsin, and she's competing for Spain in the women's basketball. Now, how did that happen?
Yeah, that's an unusual one. There, most of the time when you have an athlete from the United States competing for another nation, there's some heritage involved, you know, parents who maybe first generation or something along those lines. That's not really what's happening here. Megan Gustafson is the all-time leading scorer in Wisconsin high school girls basketball history, career scorer. She played at South Shore High School. She's from Port Wing, Wisconsin, up near Lake Superior. She was sensational in college. She went to Iowa. She's kind of before Caitlin Clark, there was Megan Gustafson. She's a national player of the year, outstanding, you know, rebounder. She's a post player, inside player, rebounder, scorer, all that. She's had a nice career in the WNBA, but hasn't really gotten a foothold. I don't think her game really suits the WNBA. So she's played there since 2018, but She had played a little bit overseas in London and had gotten in touch with the Spanish, you know, the Spanish Federation that runs basketball. Now, every team is welcome to have one naturalized citizen on their roster. They're allowed one naturalized player. And so that she started that process as early as last spring. She became a naturalized citizen of Spain. She is a member of the Spain national team, and she's doing very well. She's got a double-double, averaging a double-double, 17 points, 10 rebounds through the first three games. Spain is 3-0. They've won two of those games by 1 point. It's been nail-biters, and now they're in the quarterfinals. So this has been a wild time. You know, I completely missed that she was in the Olympics. I had been following all the different parties, and then all of a sudden Spain is playing some games. Like, wait, Megan Gustafson is on Spain? What did I miss? Is that our Megan Gustafson? And sure enough, I had just missed her, and she's a pretty high profile name. You know, we followed her a lot over the course of her career. So yeah, surprise, and having a very good Olympics so far. So we will see. Who knows? I mean, Team USA far and away in women's basketball the favorite to win, and probably will. I don't even know if they've ever lost a gold medal in women's basketball. But Spain, if they got on the podium, that would be wild. That would be really incredible.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about soccer. You had mentioned earlier that the women's soccer team used to kind of run away with things, but everything's a little bit more competitive. What's going on with Rose?
Oh, yeah. I'm checking the score right now because as we're talking here. Yeah,
so if you don't want to know. Plug your ears for a minute.
I will not reveal what I'm seeing between the United States and Germany. But, I mean, you even go back to their quarterfinal against Japan. They had to really work for it. You know, that was a 1-0 win in extra time. Beautiful goal by Trinity Rodman. They had to scratch and claw. And that's been the case in World Cups as well as the Olympics. The Americans are not the heavy, heavy favorite to walk away. They are still, again, like the men's basketball team, very good and probably among the favorites. But It's not a given that they're going to win. So these games are pretty meaningful. Rose Lavelle, who is from Ohio, but a University of Wisconsin alumna, she has been part of the U.S. national team for quite some time. She did have a goal in a World Cup final match that helped the United States defeat, I think it was the Netherlands that year. So she has been part of some really spectacular stuff. She's been there a while, and I know she had a shot on goal from what I saw earlier today that was saved, but she's been a mainstay. She's one of the fixtures on this team. So obviously there's a nice Wisconsin connection there. And, you know, I think the women's soccer team is one of the bigger, easier teams to root for. You know, everyone is kind of aware of some of these players because of World Cups, and it's fun to kind of get back in the hang of things. That my family was really excited for that win over Japan. We were following it very closely when she scored that goal. We were all freaking out. That was a cool moment.
That's always great, isn't it? When you have that connection, it makes it a little bit more interesting to watch, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is nice to have some familiar names, which is what you get in both basketball and soccer.
Okay. So you said you catch some of the trading or trending stories. Talk about Ali, is it Hore or?
Yeah, Hore is how you pronounce it. Okay. Yes. He's from Australia, but he also went to the University of Wisconsin. There's a lot of UW athletes competing for other countries, including him, Adam Spencer, another Australian who was a distance runner who competed, Mo Ahmed, who competed in the 10,000 meters and just missed a medal so close for Canada. He also went to UW. But Ali, you know, there is a dark side to being sort of like exposed to the world sometimes. And Ali had a really tough Olympics, distance runner, and fell way back. He wasn't able to qualify for the finals in his race. And he revealed that he's been really struggling with some of the things he's read and seen on social media. And he's had a lot of people come to his defense, including Molly Seidel, who's from Wisconsin. She was the bronze medalist in the marathon in the Tokyo Olympics. Very, very famous moment there. Just to, you know, Molly has also spoken in the past about her struggles with anxiety and mental health. And these things are near and dear to her heart as well. And he said, you know, I had to delete my Instagram account because of all the things I was hearing and seeing, because I wasn't performing as well as people wanted me to. And that's a very tough thing. You know, obviously these athletes are, a lot of what they do is training on their own. So you can understand why they would want to be connected to the outside world, you know, and especially true for distance runners. So there's such a rich distance running community. And I imagine social media is a big part of that. But then to see these, you know, people who are, again, parachuting in and, you know, probably know a little bit about distance running, but don't follow it outside of the Olympics. And there's immediate disappointment when the person that you've been pulling for, maybe in your home nation, maybe not, but probably from your home nation, is underperforming. And so these athletes do put up with some of that. And he spoke about that and how upsetting that was to him. And it's really rattled his confidence. It hasn't been just the Olympics. It's dated back quite a bit. So he opened up about that a little bit. It became has become a little bit of a story. And that's, I wish you could just weed that out from the becoming a household name, if only for a week or two. As an Olympian, it seems like it just kind of comes with the territory, unfortunately, and it's just a difficult part of the process.
And these Olympians, in most cases, obviously we're not talking about the NBA professionals, but they're not like getting paid millions of dollars to be representing their country. And it's got to be and they're young. Most of them are so young. It's got to be really hard.
You know, many of them do have some sort of sponsorship agreement, but, it's only the great names that, the Katie Ledeckis of the world that you're really familiar with. They're the only ones who've really broken through and are living well off of their, off of their athletic achievements. These guys have to, to train, they have to give up working 9 to 5, and then they need support, financial support, either from their family or through other means, however they can get it. It's a very difficult thing to fund. And there's probably, countless athletes who have not been able to continue competing because they haven't been able to afford it. So that's a very good point. This is something they give their lives to and sacrifice a ton. And, you just don't want to hear that, somebody who's only seen them for 5 minutes can make a judgment about them and cause, cause this sort of distress.
Yeah. And it's sad, but there are a lot of happy things going on. What are some of your favorite stories out of the Olympics so far?
I really loved this is early on in the Olympics, the Team USA rugby won in a thriller. And do I know a lot about the rules of rugby? I mean, I could tell you the basics. That's about all I could do. Things are happening on the screen that I can't explain. And it's one of the sports where that's the case, and try to follow it as much as I can. There's a University of Wisconsin alumna on that team, 3-time Olympian named Aleph Kelter. She had a very good Olympics, but they won the bronze medal. They won it on a breakthrough, a breakaway, which is essentially the equivalent of a kickoff return for a touchdown in the NFL with like a minute to go. I mean, they just burst through the line. It's a discipline called rugby sevens. It's not as many people on the field as maybe like what you'd picture with traditional rugby. And so there's a lot of room to run. There's a lot of breakaways, and they busted up the middle and they scored just as time was running out. They win the match. Shocking. I believe it was New Zealand in the bronze medal game, just a stunner. And then they ended up, coming away with a medal, which is the first time that's happened for that discipline for women. So in USA women's rugby. So that was really cool. I really enjoyed that one. Other than that, I'm loving the Snoop Dogg you mentioned that. That's certainly something that I've been following. I've been really keeping an eye on the track and field because of Kenny Bednarik. I really want to see that 200 come about. And obviously the track and field events are just fun in general. Anytime you got somebody coming from behind, like Femke Bol of the Netherlands when she upset the Americans in the mixed relay, like there's a lot of really fun things that you can see with your own eyes. I love that.
What about the gymnast, the male gymnast with the glasses too? I mean,
yes, that's definitely one of the biggest stories of the Olympics. The pommel horse guy, I believe. And, if I try to pronounce his name, I'd probably do it wrong.
I was hoping you'd do it because I wasn't going to go there.
Steven Dorshik. Yeah. He's one of the great stories of the Olympics so far. And a guy who is, I mean, I think this is, like gymnastics is very demanding, and you obviously have to be incredibly talented to do any of that stuff. He has a very specific event. He doesn't even train on the other events. It is just this. And this thing, it's like a long snapper in football. You sometimes forget the long snapper is even on the team because he only does one thing. But then when he doesn't do it right, it's, what's up with the long snapper? But no glory. But this guy gets the glory for doing the one thing. He is the specialist who got the team the bronze medal in the team event. And then he gets the bronze medal for himself in the individual events. Great interview. I mean, that's what the Olympics are all about. He is absolutely what the Olympics are all about.
Yeah, I think that you definitely hit it right there. It's like we love to see those stories so much. What about some of the new games that have been introduced or new sports? Any favorites there?
I haven't seen the breakdancing. That's the thing that I really wanted to see, and I haven't seen it yet. So I'm not even up to date on the schedule. I assume that's still to come because I haven't seen that. I've been watching a little bit of the skateboarding and the BMX biking. That's not brand new, but it's still cool to see, you know, the surfing in Tahiti. Obviously, that's not new at all, but it's very different because it is literally on the other side of the world from Paris, France. And watching, there was a humpback whale, by the way, that surfaced today during the surfing competition. So there's this great shot of the humpback whale up in the air, and people are surfing or like getting ready to surf in the foreground.
What country was he surfing for? That's what we want to know.
Oh, that's a good question. He, like everyone else, is probably a little confused why Tahiti and France are connected, but you know, whatever. They're just swimming around. They're just being dudes. That's all they can really do. But yeah, I haven't really engaged with many of the other, you know, anything that's too out of the ordinary. My kids have really enjoyed watching table tennis, which is completely different from how you play table tennis in the basement of your friend's house. It is athletic. It is speed. Yes. It is intense. So that has been very fun as well. And you know, there's always something on. There's always something on that's like super interesting that you'll know, and something on the other channels that are just like, what is this synchronized diving? And again, that's something that's been around for a long time, but it's always something that's like, I want to watch this just because I just want to see what it looks
like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, JR. We really, really appreciate you being with us today, and have fun with the rest of the games.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Take care.
J.R. Radcliffe is a sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to thank our team, our producers, Claire Neipert and Joel Patenaude, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. I'm executive director Jill Nadeau, and I'm in for our host, Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow.